Hello, and welcome to the Matt Cork Podcast, formerly the Life Science Rush Hour. I'm, of course, your host, Matt Corker. So, why are we changing the name? Well, besides the fact that I want to see my name everywhere, because I have a huge ego, I kid. No, the reason we changed the name is because, and we're going to be continuing to talk about the same things generally. We're going to continue to talk about, you know, risk, investment, public companies, private companies, you know, kind of the where those all intersect. But the feedback from listeners was, hey, let's not confine this. You know, I have listeners that are in the life science industry, and I have listeners that are outside the life science industry. And what I heard from both of them is, hey, we can learn. There's something we can learn from every industry. So let's not confine ourselves to one industry. Because there's just so much more out there. So that's what we're going to attempt to do. You know, first, you know, I appreciate everyone who's been a listener. I hope you continue to listen. Hopefully this adds more value, not and doesn't take anything away. Please give me feedback, good or even better, bad, so we know how we can improve it and make it a better experience for you. We'll also continue to keep this short and to the point, 5 to 10 minutes. I know there's a lot better podcasts out there that you can listen to. So I don't want to take up a lot of your time. I want to get right to the nitty gritty of it for you, so that you can move on. That being said, you know, let's start with the bad news. Of course, the S&P 500 down for the fifth straight day. You know, whether this is a correction, it turns into a recession, who's to say? I would say my personal thoughts are that it's been a long bull run. Everything must come to an end, whether it's this is it or not. I'm not sure, but I certainly am more cautious. What was interesting today for me was the VIX was up 6%. So the volatility is spiking as well. So, hey, who knows? It could be a great opportunity to buy, or we could be seeing a big correction. That's the beauty of the stock market. No one ever really knows for sure. That's why they say market timing is so difficult and really an act of futility. So I want to talk about first Amazon. As we all know, yesterday Amazon announced they're adding two new headquarters or satellite. Well, I don't know what they're even calling it, but you know the Amazon HQ2 is now HQ2. 2 and 3, HQ2AB, you know, whatever you want to call it. Essentially, there's going to be two additional headquarters, both on the East Coast, New York, Northern Virginia. And what I want to talk about this is actually the risk for the municipalities or the governments. You know, first off, Amazon, whether you thought what they did was right, wrong, indifferent, they maximize their leverage, meaning they know cities and governments are going to give incentives for them to relocate. What no one's ever done, at least in my understanding, is, hey, we're going to do an RFQ or RFP, whatever they called it, and say, we're pitting all of you against each other. And that's what they did. They said, let's leverage every city against each other and then leverage our power as, you know, one of the largest companies in the world to get the most we can from the government. I mean, that's clearly what they did. Now, that being said, I don't know if these cities that, you know, if New York and Northern Virginia offered them the best deal, but certainly they, I'm sure, got the most they possibly could out of those cities. And why I say the risk is in the cities is there's a couple reasons. First, you know, I'm in just outside Philadelphia, and there's a petition, and all Amazon required all these cities to file, you know, sign NDAs. And there's, you know, a strong movement from people within the city and outside the city, you know, obviously namely the press, to know what we offered. What did the government offer? And the city's not telling them in the state. I understand why they want to know. I mean, hey, what did y'all, you know, especially we got, you know, what did you offer them? But what I don't think they're thinking about is how this could actually hurt them. And I understand the press, the job of the press isn't to, you know, think about these things. It's about to give information to the public. But why do they, what would happen if this information, what was offered, is made public? So if I'm a company that's thinking about relocating, and I know what was offered to Amazon, hey, I have kind of a high watermark. I know, hey, this is how far they can go. So I think it puts me now in a better position of leverage as a company, because, you know, I know what they're capable of. I know the capabilities of a city and a city government and a state government on how far they can go to entice me to come there. So I think it could come back to hurt them. The other reason this is risky for cities is, you know, if something happens to Amazon, they go belly up, which I think is doubtful. Who's left holding the bag on some of these incentives? It's the taxpayers. You know, I grew up in New Jersey, just outside of Atlantic City. And I saw when the government there, local and state, tried to entice gaming companies to build and invest through the use of incentives. And they did. And then a couple things happened. Gaming was legalized in states, especially surrounding states, Pennsylvania, New York, Delaware. And secondly, then we had the recession of 2008-09. So we had these big buildings that were now empty. They were eyesores that, you know, for all the incentives in the world, you weren't getting any money back out of it. And anytime you see these incentives, you wonder, you know, hey, they're kind of staggering. Will we get a return on our investment, even if everything works great? But what if everything doesn't work out as planned? What happens then? Who's left holding the bag? So I just find it interesting. I hope, obviously, it works out. I think Amazon's, of course, got a ways to go as far as growth. I think their biggest probably obstacles could be antitrust, but I think those are even overblown considering what their actual share of the retail market is. When you look at the stats, they just have a great brand name. So that's kind of my thoughts on Amazon. The other interesting thing thing caught my eye today was Waymo. If you don't know what Waymo is, it's a company that's creating and developing autonomous driving. And they will be competing directly in Arizona against Uber and Lyft. The only difference is their vehicles, meaning Waymo's, will be autonomous driving. Uber, Lyft will have your typical driver in there. My understanding is that, you know, the Waymo vehicles still have to have a driver there until more data is collected, but I'm not 100% certain on that. I'm not so much interested in, hey, how this works. I am interested in people's willingness to get into a vehicle that is autonomous if there's no driver, because I think that's going to be a real interesting scenario. I'd like to see those kind of those in-car dash cams to see how people react and their faces as, you know, they go around curves or whatever. But autonomous vehicles, the bigger issue for insurance and risk is what happens when these are, you know, consumer products, meaning I can buy one, you can buy one, Joe down the street and Debbie and Mike and, you know, whoever it might be, has an autonomous vehicle. And they're no longer driving. They're relying, you know, they're sitting in the back seat doing work as the vehicle drives them around. You know, nowadays, when we have a cat crash, and because of driver error, we're liable. Well, if we're not driving a vehicle, who becomes liable? Will it be, and then how will insurance respond? You know, such things as at-fault coverage. You know, we all, in a lot of states you have what's called, you know, personal injury protection or no fault. You know, how will that play out? Who will want to take the risk? You know, what will it even look like from an insurance perspective? So, you know, personal umbrellas. I think that's really going to upend the market until everyone is on an autonomous vehicle. Because I think once everyone gets there, the driving actually becomes much, much safer because, again, accidents happen because of driver error. None of us want to admit this, but that's why it happens. And when we have a vehicle or a computer doing it, driver error should be eliminated. So watch out for Waymo. They will be live in Arizona by the end of the year. That's all I got for today. Again, I thank you for listening. Thank you for bearing with us with the new name. Hopefully we continue to bring value. If we don't, let me know. Leave me an email, matt@mattquirk.com. You can find me on mattquirk.com, Facebook, Matt Quirk, Twitter, MXC390. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you tomorrow.